Hello.
Howdy.
All right, beautiful.
So, we're had a week off last week because of pesky house guests who took up all of our damn time.
How dare they?
How dare they indeed? Eating our food, using our electricity.
The food part's the real problem. I'm pretty sure you guys use enough electricity on your own. You can't really blame it on anyone else.
That's true. Yeah, we weren't really doing it. Well, you know, we were staying up later, so we were using more electricity than we would have otherwise.
This is never worth having house guests, is
no.
it?
No, it really isn't.
No. Disturbing.
Yeah.
And sans Tom, because he's sick, right? I didn't...
Well, he said he's not feeling too hit today.
Right.
But I have a feeling he meant hot, so...
Yeah, I kind of thought, doesn't hit mean you are sick? I got the gist of it, but he must really be ill if he's that making those big of mistakes. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That, or he's, you know, leveling up in Pandaria and didn't want to take time and just wasn't paying attention.
I'm sure he would never do that.
Oh, of course not. I mean, it's not like he's been doing it the last two recorded podcasts or anything.
Yeah, I just started talking about his quest lines as he's going. And
yeah.
What a guy. But,
well, right. And it's too bad he's not going to be on today because we've got, you know, we were talking about a couple of things that he probably would have enjoyed chiming in on, but that's just what you get, Tom.
Yeah. I hope your panda monk is worth it.
Yeah.
Yes, because he definitely has opinions on Mass Effect, obviously.
Yes, and we've discussed it in a couple of episodes, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm real curious to see how he feels about them handling this DLC the way that they are.
Yeah, I know that his opinion on it, if I recall correctly, kind of went back and forth between the two different perspectives, I suppose. I'm not sure where he ended up landing. I can't recall.
And I feel pretty much the same way, whereas I hated the ending, but, I mean, you read my review. Like, I don't think that the last 5 minutes is the entire ending of the series or of the game. And I think people are putting way too much focus on that stuff. And it was really just probably that vocal minority that we hear so much from in every topic in video games.
Yeah.
So I really wonder how much people are going to A, care about this, or B, be completely confused by the entire thing.
Well, from what I know of the upcoming DLC, it's coming out this week, I think.
Tuesday, yeah.
It's not going to change anything. It's just going to expand on it a bit.
It starts before one of the end Cerberus missions, and I keep reading it and trying to figure out where they're going, because the way the endings are, I don't really know what else they could do or why they would need to start over. Like, is it just cinematics? Is it gameplay? Is it like new missions? I just don't know what it's going to be. Like, I don't know what else they have to say that they couldn't just put out in a video or a movie.
Right. From what I know, it's a mixture of cinematic cutscenes and little epilogue pieces.
Right, which sounds to me like it won't really be interactive, so I'm wondering why you have to start so far back
right.
to play through it again, which I'm not really looking forward to.
Well, you also have to get your galactic readiness up to 100% in every theater, again, if you want the full range of endings. That gives me a little giggle every time I say full range of endings for that game.
Yeah, the three of them that are the exact same. Yeah, so classic. I am torn. I mean, obviously I'll download it and I'll play it because I'm curious to see what they do, but I don't really feel that they needed to.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it sets a weird precedent, too.
I'll download it. I won't play it immediately. I'll have other better, more important things to worry about. Mm-hmm. But I'll download it while it's still free, get it onto my account, and get around to it, probably. But I can understand both sides of it. I mean, on the one hand, the ending, the last 5 minutes, doesn't really constitute the full ending of the game. You have that whole third game ending the series, really.
Yeah.
But for most people, when you're playing something or involved in something, it is, it's like a race to that end. That's right. That's your end goal. I mean, it's called an end goal, and your end goal is the end of the story, and that took such a major turn, not in a good way, at that in that last 5 minutes, that it's just so off-putting.
It is, but own it. Like, I mean, I can't even tell you how many movies or books or whatever else I've read in my life that I've not liked the ending. But they don't go back and change it. Like, they're not republishing books or, you know, occasionally with director's cuts, you get a little bit something different. But just own up to the ending. Like, I think that BioWare should just say, hey, this is what we did. This is what we want. Maybe we'll put out, not necessarily DLC, but we'll put out stories or cutscenes on our website or something to explain the rest of the heroes and the people from your party. But I think what they're doing is just going to give credence to those people that bitch and whine about it. Every little thing, and are going to expect this kind of treatment all the time.
I kind of disagree there, because they're putting out more, but they're not actually changing anything that's been complained about. The main complaint that I'm aware of is that you have this bifurcation occurring from the very beginning of the first game, of every choice you make leads you down. Every consecutive choice changes your story even more from what other people are experiencing, and that those changes are going to result in everyone having a very different story, you know, to a certain extent.
Right.
But then all of those stories come right back to the exact same point, really, regardless of what you've done, how you've done it, when you've done it. You still get to do one of three choices, most of which don't really make much sense in the context of the story,
right,
or of the character or of the situation. That being said, instead of changing it, they're just expanding and making more of that. So it seems like they're saying, oh, okay, yeah, we'll change it by giving more of what it already is. So they are releasing more content, but they're not changing it in response to the major complaints that I've heard. So it's,
see, that's what they're dealing with, though, is apparently is focused on expanding on your choices. The thing is supposed to take your game file and make more out of what you did in the previous games. So it if this was something they were planning before, I guess this is what looks weird to me, is were they planning this kind of DLC? Were they plan? Was this stuff that they did in response, or was it something they already had planned?
Right.
That's really my question. And I guess, you know, 6 to 1, half dozen the other, doesn't really matter. Only in video games, man. Like, only in video games do you see this sort of stuff happen.
Well, but only in video games is it as easy to do.
Very true. Absolutely.
Because, you know, you can release these little DLC packets digitally that'll be available for whoever wants to get them, and you play through them, and it's an interactive experience. It's like when you buy a movie, they're not going to release changes to a movie's ending or, you know, alternate endings necessarily to the theatrical release. They're going to release it later on as part of a DVD or a Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there. It's just, you're just going to release what you've already done because you don't have the actors anymore. That's all done. Gathering the employment structure of building it is so different also. These studios, they keep a staff to make more stuff, you know, and to continue development on live titles. So they have the resources and they have the staff and they have the distribution methods.
Right. I would just really like to find out how this came about, like what their rationale was, honestly. That's what I'm most curious about. Because, I mean, at least they're doing it for free. If this was something that they were charging for, I would probably be I would be a little bit pissed. And I'm shocked that EA isn't making them charge.
Yeah.
But since it's free, I mean, who can really complain? Even if you don't like it and it doesn't address your concerns, well, hey, they gave it to you for free, so shut up and deal with it.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of how I see it. But it'll be real fun to watch the internet on Tuesday if people have played through it.
Yeah.
And see how much more money they raise for charity or something.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about it on an episode or if it's something I was talking to Lindsay or someone else about, but it seems like maybe EA was just pushing to get Mass Effect 3 out. And so the ending, whatever it could have been, got pretty much just tacked on. And then they said, well, we'll just do it post-release.
And that's another reason I want to know what motivated this, like what precipitated it, because I don't think anyone would be shocked that EA rushed a game.
Yeah.
You know, like that would not be surprising. And maybe that is what happened. So I guess we'll never know, but hopefully it will be worthwhile and pay off in some respects for everyone.
Yeah.
But I won't hold my breath.
Well, I know I'm not going to be playing any of it this week. Go ahead.
I just don't think I have it in me. I mean, I played the game so many times. I don't care.
Well, I only played it once, and I was okay with that because I got so angry at the choices available at the end and how nonsensical they were.
Yep.
That it just made me not want to. Because certain parts of that game were kind of frustrating, and I didn't want to have to go through those frustrating parts, even if it meant enjoying the rest of it. I didn't want to go through the frustration of those small parts just to get to the same decisions that pissed me off in the first place.
Yeah, and since I was trying to get the platinum in my, you know, the game froze and erased everything,
yeah.
So I had to play it full, you know, three full times. My joy in the game, the second and even third time through, it was so much less enjoyable, and I didn't care, and I wasn't excited because I knew what the endings were already.
Mm-hmm.
And with Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 1, I cared, and I was actually engaged in every playthrough, and I wanted to see what happened, and there was enough variation that it made a difference.
Yeah, and I doubt that I would just go through and play 3 again. If I'm going to play again, I'd start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because my story with whatever my shepherd's name was at this point, I can't remember now. That shepherd's story, I saw it to completion, so I'll start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But not this week, because this week I'll be doing something very different.
Which is?
Playing Skyrim.
Yeah, that's a total change. You've never played that one yet, right?
I have not. I spent about 120 hours just looking at the menu, and yep. It seems to have racked up a lot of achievements and a massive save file, but no, I haven't actually played it yet.
Are you going to start fresh before Dawnguard, or are you going to go through?
I'm going to go through it once with my current character, just so I have like a really high level experience on the DLC.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably start a new character and work my way through and see. It depends on how it integrates into the game. Like if it just opens up a new storyline within the game in the same way that you have the Thieves Guild and you have the Dark Brotherhood and you have the Civil War and you can choose to do Dawnguard at any point or if it's kind of a later on kind of thing.
It's from what my understanding is, you can't just go to it. It isn't just a quest that opens up or something that happens like in Oblivion when you downloaded Shivering Isles, it just gave you, oh, hey, there's some weird portal. Go check it out. You have to actually wander around towns, and you'll overhear people talking about it, and that's how you find the quest. It isn't something that you just have in your menu.
Okay.
Which I think is a pretty brilliant way of doing it because it definitely makes the experience more organic.
Right. It's not suddenly there's something there that wasn't before. You discover it in the context of the game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it will be a problem for people that aren't us that don't know this stuff. Like, you know, a parent buys their kid the DLC and then a kid can't find it. Well, they're going to be pissed off and wondering what the hell's going on. Like, I think there will be some people that are put off by it, but I think it's a brilliant way of trying to do things with DLC.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That does sound fun.
Yeah. It's going to be really, it might get frustrating if you don't find it soon enough, but
right.
But yeah, you can't just jump in and play that. So it might take a, you know, a couple, another 10, 12 hours, which I'm sure you'll hate.
You know, I've got that 120 hours in there, and I still have a large portion of the map that isn't discovered, like a lot of little towns and villages that aren't discovered yet. I think I've got a dozen side quests still active, plus all of the side quests that I would receive from finding all those little towns and villages.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got stuff to keep me busy.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. And I have the... So when my PlayStation did the yellow light of death and I lost all my Skyrim saves, I had one that was, I think, level 50-something in the cloud, but I'm actually having more fun going through as a new character.
Hmm.
It's so bizarre how much more enjoyable that game is, and playing through it, I got a platinum on the game. And my new character, I've spent probably 8 or 9 hours exploring new things that I never found in my original almost 200-hour game, which is insane. It's absolutely incredible. So, yeah. That's also Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll make sure to download the Mass Effect DLC first, because I imagine Dawn Guard will be fairly large.
Well, the Mass Effect one is 2 gigs.
Oh.
So, like, I saw that total. I was like, oh, great. So if I put it on my PS3, that'll only take 5 or 6 days.
That'll take us less than an hour on my 360.
Yeah.
But I've got a very fun internet connection.
And yeah, I heard
PSN. So,
yeah, exactly. I think it's really funny because I plugged in my PlayStation, so now it's just hardwired in.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no difference. It's just Sony's network is garbage.
Yep.
So I will quite possibly be putting Dawn Guard on my 360 and playing through Skyrim on that and a new game.
Mm.
So I feel like I don't mind giving Bethesda multiple. Buying multiple copies from them and just giving them a couple $100 over the course of this game.
Well, I mean, you've already put over 200 hours into it.
Yeah.
And you're going to put more time into it. So dollar per hour, you're actually making out pretty well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I never begrudge Bethesda games because they are always probably the best value buy in video games.
Mm.
I seriously believe that.
They pack a lot of content into a very small package.
Yeah. Hmm. So yeah, that'll be... So that's Tuesday, Mass Effect's Tuesday. I think that we'll have a lot of... lots to do on Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'll have a lot to do for the foreseeable future.
You know, I'm still finishing up Lollipop Chainsaw, which I hope to have done tomorrow.
Mm, nice. How are you enjoying it? Or are you not?
It's a Suda 51 game. Right. I'm sure you've played them before.
Absolutely.
It's
one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that part is great. The combat started off way too much like that Ochibara Bikini Zombie Hunters from a number of years ago.
I've seen the game. I haven't played it.
It was not that good. It seemed kind of awful for the first, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, but it's so over the top and ridiculous that I go from being really embarrassed that I'm playing the game and then thinking that it's one of the greatest things I've ever played. The gameplay itself is, it's Suda 51. It's fine. It's enjoyable. It works. Yeah, it works. But good God, James Gunn, he can write some pretty raunchy things. So I'm curious about you because you have such a matured opinion of you know, feminism in games, and we had that talk about the Hitman trailer before,
right?
And so this is one of those games that people are either going to be really offended by or really understand and have a blast with.
Well, from what I've seen of it so far, I know for sure I won't be offended by it. Because it is very tongue-in-cheek from what I've heard.
Exactly.
Like, there's an achievement for looking up her skirt.
Yeah, and when you try, she, like, covers herself up. Using the camera in those ways. Like, it's... And that, I think, is funny. I think some people... I've read reviews and people's comments on how that offended them. I personally thought it was brilliant. Like, the game knows exactly what it's doing. It's just like everything James Gunn has done. If you ever watched Slither or Super, that's his style of humor, and it's pervasive through the whole thing. And you're either going to be super offended or love it.
I anticipate enjoying it just because I know that it's not intended to be cheesecake or anything. Like, right. It's over the top because it's over the top. And it's meant to be over the top and not taken seriously.
Yeah, and so in that regard, it's fun. It's the combat is good. It's not incredible. They've done better, but overall, like, it's a fun experience. So can't say anything.
That's what you look for in a video game.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and the use of the music and stuff is just. It's seriously laugh out loud funny way more often than I thought it would be.
Well, good.
Yeah. It's one of those ones you just want to call people in the room and be like, can you believe that we're actually doing this in a game? So, yeah. It's not going to be as good a combat, though, for you as Anarchy Reigns, I'm sure.
See, you know, I was about to ask, how does the combat compare to Bayonetta and then segue over? But that works, too.
Yeah, it's nothing close to Platinum games. Like, it isn't that deep or pervasive. So, yeah, I'm still looking for that third-person action game, which is why I was depressed about Anarchy Reigns.
Yeah, it's part of their North American restructuring at Sega. They don't want to publish anything that is riskier, so they're focusing on, I think it's 4 or 5 of their core titles for the Sega of America to work on and publish. So they pushed Anarchy Reigns in North America to first quarter, I believe, calendar year 2013, not fiscal.
And it makes sense. I'm real depressed about it, obviously, but they're going to put it out in Japan. Mm-hmm. They'll probably make enough money to justify putting it out here, hopefully. That'll work, and we'll get it eventually. I'm just glad they didn't cancel the game, which I was worried about. I think I mentioned that last time.
Apparently the game has been, according to some people at Platinum Games, the game has been done and fully localized for a little while now. And the delays have been because of Sega's publishing.
See, that's awesome. Because if it's fully localized and we can get them from Japan and we can order them over here, I'm just going to do it early.
Yeah, well, the PS3 Absolutely. Version obviously is already going to be region-free, so it'll play on the North American PS3s, but the Xbox 360 version, which is, from what I understand of the import market, much more rare to have region-free.
Mm-hmm.
According to one of the Platinum Games employees on Twitter, it will be region-free on the 360. Bayonetta and Vanquish were region-free on the 360, so it would stand to reason that they would keep that pattern going with Anarchy Reigns.
Let's hope so, because I think that there's enough of a cult following for Platinum Games now, and they've gotten a lot more as their games have come out. I think that they would probably have a lot of success with stuff being imported in. I'm sure that you and I wouldn't be the only people to do it.
Oh, no. Hell, I'll be, as soon as I get any kind of real confirmation, either from Platinum Games or from PlayAsia, once they get a copy of it and test it on the North American 360, that it is compatible, that it is region free and it'll work on my North American 360 without any kind of modification or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm buying it and having it shipped here as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah, because they make the best action games on the market.
Oh yeah,
right now they're fantastic, and I hope that they get away from Sega and get to go to a bigger publisher that will put a lot more behind them.
Well, they finished their. Let's see, they finished their four-game contract. Their four-game publishing contract for Sega ended with Vanquish.
Right.
Then they did a fifth one, which was Anarchy Reigns. But they're working on something called Project P100 or P1000 for the Wii U. I'm not sure who's publishing that. And then, obviously, they have Metal Gear Rising Revengeance for Konami. So it seems like they're branching out a bit, and they've made it clear that while they aren't telling people to import Anarchy Reigns, that it is region-free and fully localized. So they're making a very strong point that Anarchy Reigns, Max Anarchy, is fully localized, is region-free. Not that we're telling you to import it, but just so everyone knows,
wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Don't import it, but
exactly.
You can import it. Which is, that's fantastic. It's impressive that they already have it localized. That's great.
They had it all done well before they sent it off. That was just part of their process.
That's awesome. So,
might as well throw in Welcome to Marooners Talk, episode 33. We'll call this one My First Import.
I like it. Yeah, because that'll be the first game I'll import in from Japan, actually.
Yeah. Me too. First game I'll import from anywhere, but I mean, where else are you going to import from, really?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's...
First game I'm going to import from Brazil.
Yeah, no, I don't know if those... If the Brazilian versions of games are really going to be killing it with extra content, but...
You could have the Carnival skins for player characters. You run through Skyrim and everyone is doing a Mamba in a bikini with tassels, perhaps.
It would either be the most impressive thing or the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in a game.
There's already a PC mod like that, though.
I'm sure there is.
There may be.
If not, one of the five listeners probably has the mod tools, and they'll put it out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's kind of like Rule 34. As soon as the thought is put out into the world, it's going to happen somewhere, somehow.
Because somebody else wants it. You're not alone.
That's
what the internet's taught us. That's kind of brilliant. But we'll see. So July 5th, right?
Yeah, July 5th in Japan. So that's something that as soon as I get any kind of confirmation that that is region free on the 360, I'll be tweeting about that like crazy. So
anyone
following will definitely get the news and feel free to pre-order themselves.
Hope to God, because we need to get more people to buy those platinum games.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? If Sega sees that there is a strong community here importing that title, maybe they'll push to publish it here sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, if it's good, which I don't anticipate it not being good, because at this point, I sincerely trust Platinum Games to do a very phenomenal job.
Yeah, definitely.
If it does end up being as good as I'm hoping it is, then, you know, I'll have Max Anarchy on my shelves, and when Anarchy Reigns comes out in the U.S., I'll pick up a copy of that, too.
I probably would, too. They're one of those people that kind of like BioWare used to be. I'm sure they'll falter eventually, but right now they have not put out a bad game.
Yeah, they haven't had their Dragon Age 2 yet.
Right, exactly. and then it's just been all downhill from there, so
yeah.
It'll happen someday. But
one day, but for now we have to just revel in it.
Put our trust in Platinum Games. The problem with what happened with Vanquish was when the marketing on that made it seem like kind of a lower tier cheapo action game. They'd never put out just how great these games are. I didn't think Sega ever did a good job of marketing for Platinum.
Sega did a shit job at marketing for Platinum. They really did. I hadn't heard much about Vanquish at all in the lead up to it.
Nope.
But then the game shows up at our door, and it's one of my favorite games on the platform.
I completely agree. Yeah, and same thing with Bayonetta. The way that they marketed that, too, made it seem much more juvenile than it was.
Right.
And that game was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
And Mad World was another one where they just tried to make it like, hey, this is the adult Wii game, and...
Yeah.
Yes, but that wasn't all it was.
Yeah. I never played their DS game, but I had kind of drifted away from my DS well before it came out.
I can't even think of the name of it right now.
Something with an I, I believe. Infinite something or...
Oh, Infinite Space.
Is that it?
Yes. Yes, okay. Yes, yes. And I played through some of that. And it was less action. It was more...
RPG?
Space sim. Yeah, RPG. It was great. It was really, really deep. Like, scary deep. But it was good, though. So.
Right.
Speaking of 3D, or yeah, DS, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
3DS XL.
Yes. You know, I saw that coming. I knew they wouldn't announce Wii U pricing or anything like that. I knew that that would be a 3DS XL. It fits their pattern completely.
Yeah. I'm just really surprised that they would do it now, because the 3DS is the only hardware that's still selling well. Everything else is dropping. So they don't even need to put out a new iteration. They could have just held it off until 3DS sales started to drop.
Well, they just had their first year in the red, I think, ever for Nintendo.
Yeah.
So I think they're scrambling a bit, because the Wii U has not had the reception that I think they were hoping for, given the success of the Wii.
Which I don't understand why they would think that would be successful, but okay.
Well, I mean, obviously they must have. If they went forward with it, they must have thought it would be successful.
Yeah.
Incorrectly. Well, again, I can't say that, because who knows, maybe it'll sell gangbusters and prove all of us wrong. But
do you think that the being in the red is what precipitated them deciding to put out big news? Because Smash Brothers was announced too, after E3. Like, there's two announcements that people expected. Well, I guess in Wii U pricing, but we expected to hear about Smash Brothers because they mentioned it last year.
Right.
Nothing. And you expected to hear about a new iteration on the 3DS or something handheld. Nothing. And yeah. Then why didn't they do it at E3? So maybe they were scrambling and thought they had to, but it just seems like really awful timing.
Okay. Well, and then again, they may be trying to get ahead of, maybe they're projecting slower 3DS sales in the next couple of months. And they want to get ahead of it by introducing a new iteration.
Yeah, it just seems Nintendo never does things the way that we think that normal people should, do they?
No. And to be fair, they've been in business longer than anyone has ever been, longer than anyone's ever lived.
Yeah.
So they must be doing something right. But, and I've heard that argument before, but eventually everything has to end.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wii U, if it isn't as successful as Nintendo is hoping, if they don't really come out and market it better and give people information about it, it may be the beginning of their end in hardware.
I still feel like I don't know anything about the machine.
It's for all I know, it's pretty much a 360, except it has an iPad controller.
Yeah, and
their next generation entry is a current generation platform with a tablet controller.
Right.
Which just seems ridiculous to me. Just as the Wii was ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know, even when we were looking at that and being like, oh, seriously, you could understand the logic. Like, oh, hey, it's a remote control. If you have this in your house, your parents are a lot more likely to pick up something that looks like a TV remote than something with 83 buttons and analog sticks and all
true.
That. So the philosophy made sense. I don't know what the philosophy is here.
No.
I don't understand what and who they're appealing to, because people that are turned on by tablets and want tablets are probably technically adept enough that they already have a system, or they're going to go for one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. Well, they at E3 last year, they said, you know, we listened to the core gamers, to our core gamers and the hardcore fans, and we're giving them something now. And you know, it was the Wii U, blah, blah, blah. And it was just kind of stunning at that point that that was their interpretation of what core hardcore gamers wanted, was the same things we already have on equivalent powered platforms a year and a half later than we already had them.
Well, I mean, they're right in that that is what we wanted. We just already have it.
Right.
So I don't feel the need to buy it again.
Right. And I think they got that wrong. I mean, they need to. The Wii U, to me, aside from the tablet controller, seems more reactive than proactive. It's okay, you wanted this kind of platform, you wanted these kind of games. Okay, well, we'll give you that. Half a decade after the competing platforms already came out, instead of moving forward, pushing graphics forward, pushing control methods forward, however they want to do, they seem, I think, to have stagnated with the Wii U. The Wii, the graphics weren't phenomenal, but they had an innovative control system that really, I think, is what sold the Wii. And it was.
That everyone tried to co-opt.
Yes.
So everyone else was being reactive to them, and now they're in a position of being the ones that have to, I don't know, live up to something, or I'm not really sure why they feel. I don't really get any part of the Wii U. There's nothing there that makes sense to me.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't see a tablet controller like that. I can see how it could be beneficial to gameplay in certain games, in certain uses. I don't see it as an integral enough method of controlling a game to be as unique and innovative as the motion control of the Wii was.
Especially because what they've shown has really been pretty bad. Like Batman, I've already played Arkham City, don't need to play it again, and the controls that they're doing for it do not appeal to me whatsoever. Like Batman's already kind of clumsy enough, why do they need to make him clumsier with this stuff?
Although I heard that controlling the remote control Batarang is a lot easier with the Wii Pad or Game Pad or whatever the heck they're calling it.
That, hey, cool, thumbs
But
up. But
that's not enough of a justification for me to
yeah,
buy it again. Yeah.
so what am I going to buy the system for? Like, what made it was making me buy the system? Because I've again, every game they've shown, I've already beaten, except for the new stuff from Ubisoft.
Yeah. Which I'll
So,
have to give Ubisoft a shitload of credit, and I think we did in the last
yes,
podcast.
yep.
They did fantastic Vita support, even though not all the games were fantastic, but they had good launch support, and they're doing it again with the Wii U.
Yeah,
So
and
good for them at least.
they've got the money and the talent and the capability that they can take risks and do stuff like that. Awesome. And they might put out some stuff that will make me want to buy the system, but as of right now, don't care.
They've already got me. That's the problem. I don't give two shits about the Wii U, but Rayman Legends,
Yeah.
after the incredible job they did with Rayman Origins, I remember sending in the request for Rayman Origins to Ubisoft, and I didn't really take a look at it at E3. And I didn't have the time to look at it at a Judges Day event that we managed to get into the week or two, a week or two before E3. So it was pretty much a surprise to me. I remember sending the request thinking, what the hell, I'll send this request at the same time that I'm sending the Assassin's Creed Revelations request, and maybe we'll get both of them. And they came, I think they came in this within a week of each other or something. But
Yeah.
I wasn't even looking for that kind of experience.
It was top notch. And so, that is really the only possible seller for the Wii U is going to be a third party system, which is really unusual considering that it's Nintendo. They've arguably got the best stable of first party titles.
But they haven't done enough with that stable to get new interest.
Yeah, that's true. It's weird because I keep hoping for like to revitalize my Zelda love or my Metroid love, and every time I'm just kind of disappointed.
Well, I mean, Mario, for example, you have the classics, the 1, 2, and 3. You have Super Mario 64. You have Super Mario Galaxy. the rest of the Marios, and maybe Paper Mario, but otherwise, you have a lot of other stuff that's just the same. I enjoyed New Super Mario Brothers, but only because it was like a shiny Super Mario Brothers, not because yeah. there was anything really new or intriguing about it. And yep. they need to have, for the Wii U, another Super Mario Galaxy, another Mario 64, something that takes advantage of the platform and brings something new and interesting and exciting to the character.
Show us what it can do. Like that, they should be the primary people putting out a game that highlights everything that they can accomplish and what they can do with their system.
Okay.
And that's what seems so weird. That's the perfect venue, is to put out a Mario game that's different and innovative, and why wouldn't they?
A Mario game, a Mario platformer game, will always sell.
Definitely.
I can't imagine a Mario game not selling, because it's a very basic system for the most part. I mean, it's a widely recognized character, one of the most widely recognized characters ever.
Yeah.
As far as I know or am concerned. Everyone, if you say Mario, I don't know anyone who's not going to know what you're talking about. Maybe my mom.
See, I think even my mom would know. That's what's really hilarious, is like, my parents would know, and they never played them. They just bought their kids those games, but yeah. they know them. So, yeah, and that's something they've got, but good God, where is it? Like, it's...
Yeah. You'd think that they'd have had not a new Super Mario Brothers 2 kind of thing, or another Smash Brothers, but a real new title in the Mario series
mm-hmm.
for their new platform. You'd have thought they'd had one ready for launch.
I keep asking them to convince me. That's what I feel so bad is. I say the same thing all the time, but I desperately want to be convinced. Like, I am the apex consumer. If you can convince me to buy pretty much anything, and I'm willing to waste way more money than I actually have in order to have shiny new technology. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not tough. If they give me a reason, I will absolutely, you know, beg, borrow, and steal until I can get one. But they're just not. And I want them to. I want to be convinced.
I can understand that. I did not want to be convinced. I was very secure in not wanting a Wii U. I was secure in feeling that, you know, it was just not the right move for Nintendo. And like I said, Nintendo is not the one who convinced me. Ubisoft was.
Right.
Even then, just with one title, I don't really care about Zombie U.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think zombies have kind of had their time.
Zombies' time ended a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's too saturated. It's too
exactly.
much. Exactly. It makes its way into Call of Duty, for crap's sake. I mean,
yeah.
Call of Duty is supposed to be a semi-realistic war shooter. Why the hell are there zombies in it?
There's
or Red Dead,
gonna be...
for example. Red Dead didn't need zombies.
No, although what Red Dead did was pretty impressive. Like, I really loved how they handled it. I thought it was hilarious and clever. But, yeah, I'm a humongous zombie fan. I've seen more zombie movies than I should probably admit. And there'll always be a space, but everyone is trying to make that, like, their key to successful games. And it's obnoxious.
It really is. I get sick of it. I can play Left 4 Dead 2 and enjoy it because it makes sense and it's well done and it's a good game. I can't play every single zombie game out there. It's too much. Most of the time it's not well implemented. I mean, at least Left 4 Dead gave you something more than just horde zombies. You had the different specialty types that gave you some sort of variation in the gameplay.
And it was so fun. The gameplay was top-notch. I mean, it's Valve, obviously. But, you know, Dead Island was okay.
I never bothered with it. I heard way too much about the bugs and the glitches and the game breaking.
Yeah, it was not fantastic. And it was, again, there's great concepts, but I'm over it. So that being one of their big sellers is just kind of like them saying, oh, hey, guys, look, we really are appealing to hardcore gamers because we have zombies now.
I'm waiting for the cynicism about zombies to spread. I can't wait for that because then I'll be in the majority again. And I'll be fuck zombies.
Well, I honestly, to God, I'm shocked it isn't already. And that I don't necessarily want it to, but really, like, I'm just done with it. Absolutely done. So there's our zombie hate for the day.
Yeah.
Which I think is well deserved at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's if something, and it's going to happen with some other topic. You know, next it'll be Frankensteins or something, or mummies or whatever. Whatever the new big thing is going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to start off okay, and then it's going to get oversaturated by everyone jumping in with every crap tie-in to that topic that they can pump out to try to grab sales.
I just don't know why werewolves haven't made their thing yet. I mean, that could make an awesome video game.
It could. It was well done in Skyrim, I thought.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there's
the mechanic of having to feed to retain your werewolf form. The anonymity, depending on where you changed.
Yeah.
The different set of powers and abilities. I thought that was all really well done.
Yeah, absolutely. So so somebody else will steal that, and then we'll be oversaturated with that in a year.
Yeah.
And we'll have,
lycanthropy.
Yeah.
It sucks, but it's because video games are a business. And there are always going to be people in marketing or development or production who say, you know, this is what is selling now. Let's make a lot of this so we can make money.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it's about the making money.
Yeah, and
making money is to fuel further game production, it's still, that is the most important part.
And I don't begrudge them that. I really do understand it's a business and it's fine. I just think that they need to Nintendo, again, it seems like reactive. Zombie U seems a reaction instead of a invention or innovation.
Yeah.
It's
sad more than anything else because Nintendo, for the longest time, had been really one of the key innovators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had the joystick.
On a 64.
On the 64, you had the joystick. And then you had the Z button on the 64 too. And then with what was the innovation on the GameCube? The dual joysticks? No, PlayStation did that.
Yeah.
I never had a GameCube. I never cared for it.
Not really, but it had some amazing games on it. Mm.
The Super introduced the shoulder buttons.
Yep. And, you know, on GameCube, you had games like the Resident Evil revitalization with 4, and they had some really incredible movements with it. But, yeah,
Sorry, Lindsay just came in from the other room. She was whispering at me. The GameCube had the Wave Bird, and she put her hands together and hooked her thumbs and did the little, like, bird hand signal flying up. So she was whispering at me, the GameCube. And you can't see what I'm doing, but I'm pantomiming it, and she's flipping me off for it.
So you should have taken a picture of that really quick and then put that as the, you know, the banner image for this.
That's a good idea. I should have. She won't pose for it now, though.
Damn. It did have the Wavebird. But, yeah, it's really sad, and I think that's sort of why we kind of expected more innovation, because it was like, oh, hey, we all laughed at them with the Wii at first, and then they proved us wrong, and it was innovative and awesome, and everyone's copying it. What are they going to do now? Nothing.
Yes. They're going to do the Wii with an iPad.
Yeah. And we still don't know anything about the other two consoles coming out. So I guess who knows? Maybe they'll do something similar. If the Wii U does well, we'll start seeing tablets with all the systems. But
maybe. I imagine, I don't know if this is something we talked about before and that's where it's coming from, but they'll wait and they'll see what the Wii does, and then the Wii U, sorry.
Yeah.
And they'll pretty much wait for it to shoot itself in the foot, and then they'll release something spectacular.
I have laundry over there. I think so too. And that's kind of why I'm wondering if they're being reticent about what they're mentioning. And actually, the Microsoft's what the hell is it called, Silverlight or whatever?
Yeah.
Tablet integration almost seems like a precursor.
Oh, glass, smart glass.
Yeah, smart glass. Oh, it's like, oh well, if it does well, we're gonna have the integration, and if it doesn't, oh, what was just a little side thing we decided to try before the 360 died.
Well, so I think they're aiming in a different direction than that. I think they're gonna move forward with smart glass, and it's because the Xbox, Microsoft is trying to make the Xbox the center of entertainment in the living room, not just the center of video gaming in the living room. And with Windows Phone, with the recently announced Windows Surface tablet, which I want one. They had me sold when they said it included a cover, that it included a built-in kickstand, that the cover had a touch keyboard on it, so you could pretty much set your tablet up as a laptop, that it included a full working version of Office, that you could upgrade to the higher powered and have the full PC version of Windows 8 installed on a tablet. That kind of power and mobility and functionality and practicality, they did a number on me. But I think that that's going to be an integral part of them trying to get into every single facet of technological lifestyle, from phone to tablet to computer to Xbox, and have it all be able to communicate smoothly and functionally.
Yeah, their entire philosophy, I think, is absolutely brilliant. And their UIs with stuff, like, that's why I'm such a fan of the Zune, is their UIs, when they get them right, good Lord, are they great. So yeah, I'm sold on the tablet too. I don't want them to force the tablet integration into all of their games, but I think that they're handling it in a better way than the Wii U tablet, so I'm going to give them a lot more leniency when looking at it.
Yeah. I don't want a tablet integrated with games, forced integrated into games.
Right, exactly.
Because I don't want to have to buy a tablet to play my games.
Yeah, although I didn't really want a tablet at all, but now I do. Bastards.
Yeah, they... It's the inclusion of so much that has to be purchased for other tablets, mm-hmm. and the availability of a hardware revision that can have a full operating system, the likes of which you would find on a PC. Those two aspects are really, really selling me on the Windows Surface.
The problem with something like an iPad is it doesn't really do anything my phone can do. And it's really cool. It's pretty. I mean, obviously, it's gorgeous to look at, but I can't write a paper on it. I can't do an article on it. If I get an idea, I can scribble something down in Notepad, but it's not quite the same. So giving me a fully functional Word, giving me something that will flawlessly integrate between my computer and my tablet so I can do work on both, that's what tablets should have been. That's what they need to be.
Yes. So I'm definitely anticipating that. But then, I mean, we were talking about the packaging of it coming with everything that you have to pay for with other tablets. That actually brought me back to the 3DS XL that Nintendo announced, that the power adapter is only included in box with the North American version.
Is it the same adapter?
Yeah, the same adapter will work. The Japanese and European don't get an adapter with their 3DS XL.
So basically,
they're
saying
to use the one they already have, or if they don't have something, they have to separately purchase a power adapter.
Which is not cheap.
No. And it's ridiculous. You have a mobile device, you include a way to charge that mobile device.
What is even charging the mobile device? You can't even use it at home if you can't charge it.
Right. Well, a way to power the device just flat out. Yeah.
That is insane. I didn't know that part about it. It's incomprehensible. Why would you do that? You're basically
I just
saying
don't understand.
You made this so we can sell the same system to you twice, And if you didn't buy it already and give us your money and for a second time, well, we're still going to get you, buddy.
$30 premium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they run sometimes up to $40 for a Nintendo brand charger for the 3DS.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because those chargers and controllers and that stuff is always pretty overpriced. I mean, you can get generic ones, but man. I guess, yeah, they really are worried about being in the red, huh?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Started Darksiders today.
Oh, for the first time?
I had played the demo a little bit, but yeah, for the first time I've actually started Darksiders.
What do you think?
It's fun so far. I just got to... let's see. I just got the Earth Mover from Volgrim.
Yes. Yep, yep.
Moved the giant dude, went in, broke all the tables. That's the first thing I do whenever I get into a room, is I pick everything up and throw it against a wall.
Yep, that's a good policy.
Yeah. And so I've got it paused and my TV's off in the other room, ready to jump down into that little library area.
It's such a fun game. It drug on a little bit long. There are some parts where I was kind of just wanting the game to be over, but it was a pretty awesome game. I'm really excited for the second one because it, you know, that was, I think, their first game that they did, and it was good. It was very, very good. You'll have fun with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I started, was because I know the second one will be coming out in August, I believe.
Yeah.
So I wanted to at least have the first one under my belt.
And it's one of those games that you can obviously say, oh, hey, now we're in the Zelda Water Temple level, and now we're in the God of War Titan level. And I mean, you can see the influences, but it's so well done, and the artwork is so great that I carried with it the whole time. And yeah, Darksiders 2 should be good. It's really too bad about THQ's problems, because we should have had that game already, but what can you do?
Yeah, well, I think THQ may be doing some smart restructuring to stay solvent.
Yep, their vice president just resigned yesterday or the day before. Mm. It's we kind of everyone knew that there was going to have to be a contraction in the game industry.
Yeah,
at some point, and people going for smaller projects or smaller teams. I think that THQ's just, and Sega now, are just sort of exemplifying where things are headed.
Well, I think we talked about that when we talked about big, huge games and 38 studios.
God.
Don't spend that much money on a game that you have to sell a respectable or impressive number of copies of just to break even.
Yeah, because Kingdoms of Amalur did almost 2 million, which is incredible. That's successful. That's what most games try to look for that aren't Call of Duty, you know?
Yes.
And
they needed 3 million sales in order to just break even.
You know, and if they had just stayed in Massachusetts and not gone to Rhode Island and taken the loans and the tax breaks, which I get why they did, but...
Yeah. Well, and then not hired R.A. Salvatore and not hired Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, those two especially.
Those millions and millions of dollars between the two of them that really they could have hired someone for, you know, a couple of $100,000 over the course of a few years.
And probably done something better, honestly.
Even if it was something equivalent, at least you'd be at the same point, but with an extra few million dollars in your pocket or in your budget.
Yeah. The only thing that the only big hire they did was... Ken, what's his name from Bethesda?
From Morrowind and Oblivion.
Yeah, I can't remember his last name, but he obviously his influence, especially in the combat and things like that, and the skill trees and everything were great.
Yeah,
and that's just so depressing because I desperately wanted a sequel to that game.
Well, they were working on the MMO,
mm-hmm.
With Amalur Reckoning, I guess is. Proof of concept and an introduction into the MMO world.
Which would have been fine. I probably wouldn't have played the MMO because I already play World of Warcraft and I don't really feel like I need anything else in my life along those lines. But Yeah, it just seems so strange, the whole thing, and it's really disappointing.
Yeah.
Because it looked like we had a new RPG developer, someone that's going to put out incredible RPG action games like we thought Dragon Age would be, and...
I'm really hoping that BioWare gets it together for Dragon Age 3 and does something that is more reminiscent of how Dragon Age Origins felt and less of how Dragon Age 2 felt. I want BioWare to be Bad Religion. They had some really, really good albums until they got picked up by Atlantic Records.
Yeah.
They put out a good one and then a couple that are really the worst Bad Religion albums of their entire discography. Mm-hmm. And then,
which is extensive.
Yeah. And then, you know, went back to Epitaph, did some more phenomenal work. I want Dragon Age 2 and the end debacle of Mass Effect 3 to be BioWare's No Substance and whatever the heck the other bad one was that I can't even remember the name of anymore. I want them to come back to doing good work forward.
Yeah, which they can.
Yeah.
But they also have the specter of Electronic Arts, which is...
Right.
Might have more to do with stuff than we know or want to know about, but...
True. EA most likely had a very heavy hand in some of what's been going on with some of BioWare's work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from what I know, I still haven't touched it, but from what I know, most people are enjoying Old Republic. So BioWare is still doing good work. It's just also not doing good work in some other arenas.
Right. And it's not the same level of the work that it was. Right. But yeah. We shall see. And I'm real anxious to see where everyone goes for the next generation, because I think that's where we're really going to see a complete revamping of philosophies for game systems.
Yeah. I know for sure, whichever, if any of the platforms lock out used gaming,
mm-hmm.
I'll go with the platform that doesn't. And if they all do, then I'll stick with the generation I've got now. I don't even play that many used games. I don't buy that many. I don't own that many. I think I own 2 or 3 used games out of a full bookshelf of used of games total. But I can't agree with that kind of philosophy.
I agree. I absolutely agree. But I think Microsoft has the best philosophy, unless they lock out games, as far as consoles are no longer just about playing games. They're entertainment consoles. Like, my entire house, everything that I do entertainment-wise is set up around our systems.
Yeah.
That's how it is, and I'm totally okay with that. I don't want to have to buy a DVD player and a Blu-ray player and a cable box and this and that. I want everything streaming through my system. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if the other companies, I know Sony's trying to do it. You can see it already. But I'm real curious to see if they are able to emulate that, or if that's where everyone goes to or what. Which, right. I think they kind of have to eventually, but
yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm hopefully perfectly content with this generation of hardware for as long as I need to be.
I really am too. Like, there's so many things that I'm still having so much fun on my systems. I don't feel like it's time to move on yet.
No.
I know Xbox really doesn't have a lot to offer coming up anytime soon, but there's so many old games to play. And
yeah. Well, and you know, that's more a fault of the developers rather than the hardware itself.
That's, yeah, and I think Xbox is kind of, Microsoft has kind of decided what they're doing, and yeah, they're concentrating on next gen. We know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I started playing Just Cause 2 again. It's one of the best games of the generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, and I could play this game for another probably 8-9 months and still not do everything. It's just, I get a kick out of it. I don't need inundation of games every week, and I don't need new hardware yet because there's still so much that we can see and do.
Yeah.
So
I still have to buy that one, but I played it from Gamefly, I think, a year ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just been kind of stuck in my head ever since then. I keep looking at it and thinking, maybe I should go buy this, but then I don't, but then I think, maybe I should.
Well, yeah, and it's so cheap now. I mean, we'll go to get GameStop and get a used copy. I think even new, it's probably $10 or $15. And it's one of my favorite games of this generation. By far, so. Yeah. We'll see, and I'm still not buying a 3DS when it comes out either. So
the XL. I don't plan on picking up a 3DS XL. I never bought a 3DS in the first place. So
yeah, that's actually an interesting thing with the smart glass with Microsoft is I would be really interested to see if they can integrate their games into a portable system with the tablet setup. I would really like that. The Vita kind of integrates the two, but not nearly enough with the two systems. And I would really love to be able to take games where I want to go and have a collaboration between what I play in bed and then what I play in the living room and things like that. So we'll see.
Well, anything else for this week?
I don't think so. Look for Lollipop on Tuesday. I should finish it up tomorrow. I've only got about an hour or two left, so
nice.
That'll do that. And Mass Effect, I guess. Probably comment on that Tuesday or Wednesday as well.
Cool.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Yep. Sounds good, man.
All right. Well, you guys know where to find us, obviously, since you're listening to us. So
keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, keep doing it. Have a great week.